I'm happy to talk basketball with my next guest. He guided Marshall to an NCAA tournament win over Wichita State this March. He was an assistant in Phoenix, New York, and with the Lakers. The head coach of those teams was his little brother, Mike D'Antoni, my guest right now, Dan D'Antoni here on CBS Sports Radio. Dan, do you miss this? Do you wish you were sitting next to your brother on your bench, on the bench right now?
No, I'm enjoying celebrating Mother's Day here at home with my wife. So, you know, he's got a tough job to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, man. Have you just been a fan here, or have you put your coach's cap on and helped your brother out some during this run?
Well, he doesn't need my help by any shape. But, you know, we talk all the time. And I'm sure a little bit of me's in him, and a lot of him is in me. So, you know, we kind of see basketball on the same level. So we talk a lot, and I'm looking forward to this next round of the playoffs.
What do you think it would mean to your brother to win this series?
Well, you know, I think ultimately you got to win. He wants to win the championship, and so this is a step on that way. And, you know, it's a tough road. That's a lot of good coaches, a lot of good players are standing in the way. He's gone a long way and should be excited about what they've done this year. But it's going to be a great, entertaining series and entertain a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to it like everybody else.
Did you see this coming? Did you think that they were going to take this step this season from 55 wins to 65, the most in the NBA?
Well, I did, and I'll say this. I thought he had aligned his two superstars, and Chris Paul came on and has adopted that style. And, of course, James had a great year the year before. So, you know, once you start lining up and your players get in behind the process of putting a team together and how they're going to play, you know, you have a lot of success. I think that's the hardest thing a coach has to do. And sometimes we put all the responsibility on a coach, but sometimes it relies on administration and players.
Dan, what is the style you're talking about? When you say there that he's got two superstars who have bought into the style, what is the style of play?
Well, basically, what you're looking at the NBA a lot, he's going to play against the style that he would coach with the players that are at Golden State. But it does a little bit different each time you have a group of or a team. Their own talents kind of morph the style. But basically, by and large, it's spreading the floor and putting people into spot-up positions to shoot threes to keep the floor space. He likes a lot of ball movement, but I think a little bit has morphed into some great one-on-one players with the two players he has now. One of the main ingredients of his style, and we employ the same thing, but is the pick and roll, and they use that to generate defensive maneuvers from the team as far as how the defense, what rotations they're going to do and how they're going to play it. And from that, you create an advantage offensively. And then the last thing, I think, I think it's more out during his tenure as a coach and here, me doing it myself here at Marshall, mm-hmm. at Marshall, that players enjoy the style. They're confident in what they can do. And then their ability to do what they do without looking over their shoulder or, you know, I always said once that the best shot for me to take as a player was one I chose, not the one the coach chose for me. So a lot of that is that freedom to create on their own and to feel free to play to their abilities. And he just does a great, great job of allowing it to happen.
We're talking to Dan D'Antoni, Marshall head coach, the older brother of Houston Rockets head coach, Mike D'Antoni. I saw an incredible stat on Trevor Ariza that outside of the baskets he made in the lane this year, he had 1 2-point field goal the entire season, which is just incredible. But I think that speaks to what you're saying, right, Dan? Is that?
Well, I do. He has length at the basket, and so he can get in and finish at the rim pretty well. He's got a good three-point shot, and I don't think he is a great jump shooter. So kind of fits into that system. He's employing what the defense gives him, and very successful. He's had a great year.
Is it important in this offense to have guys get to the corner quickly? Is that important?
Well, yeah, because it makes the defense, it pulls them all the way down. The thing you don't want a defense to do is have a straight line. If there's a straight line across that foul line extended, and you don't force them to have a kind of a V shape, about three Vs in their defense, those create gaps. But when they align up and you don't push the defense down or pull it out to your three-point shooters on top, then it becomes a straight line. It's just difficult to score because they can help each other. But once you create those Vs in the defenses, then there are angles to the basket. You got good one-on-one players. You use the pick. If they're not great one-on-one players, you can use the pick and roll to create that advantage. And then you go, then the ball starts moving a little bit. You shoot well, you beat somebody.
Dan, when did you guys have this eureka moment that this was the best way to play the game, seriously? Because as you said, you know, this is now widespread. It's become the way that most teams want to do it. When did it hit you that this is the way basketball should be played?
Well, I think there were steps in all of it. When we played here, we were a free shooting, fast paced offense. Mike's team and my team at Marshall University, I always use it. We played ODU and scored without the a three-point line, 119 points. We scored 117 points against Nebraska in the NIT when I played. And Mike's teams had the similar results. So the fast pace and the freedom to play within the offensive structure has always been a part of us, I think, all the way down through my dad and coaching and people coaching in Southern West Virginia. The other part came later, I think, and that is the spacing and how to space and the importance of the three-point shot, because we didn't have it, so we didn't really recognize the importance of it. And then he went to Europe, which had the three-point shot before we did, and he called me one time and he said, you know, I don't want to tell you how to play, but just take this in mind. We shot six, and I won't get the exact figures, but it's close. 620-odd threes this year. Team that came in second shot 584. Team that came in third shot 560. And if you added up 4 through 8, which is number in there, if you added up all their threes, it wasn't as many as we took ourselves.
Wow.
So that three-point play, we started playing around with it. And then the other thing I think he developed, and I think it's very important, is how to play a pick and roll. Most of the time, the pick and roll has always been for the guard, coming off, getting him a shot, or getting him clean to the basket. But the way we teach it, it's kind of like Tonto and the Lone Ranger. You know, you got the Lone Ranger maybe coming off, but don't forget Tonto, which is your big. And that's why the centers on our teams, from David Lee all the way through today, score a lot of points, a lot more than they usually had scored in the past. So, you know, it's a combination, a little bit of step by step. The rules changes helped. Obviously, three-point line, the three-point play, rule changes, and then the players have gotten better. You and your bigs, you know, play like guards, and your guards play like bigs. And what happens when you spread the floor like that, your big got to be able to guard the whole thing. And that's why, you know, and then probably pretty soon the bigs will be trained in high school and everywhere else to maneuver and play like guards. And then somebody better come up with another system.
Dan, it seems to me like American basketball looks like European basketball did 20 years ago.
I'm not so sure of that. I know that they do. I do think that the Europeans trained their bigs to play all positions.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I would agree with that. But to the extent of free shooting, giving instead of an ABCD type of offense, giving a concept offense allows players to play within concepts instead of just point A to point B. I think Mike started that one by himself. I think Europeans kind of played the other way.
Why do you think it's important to get your first shot at the basket earlier in the clock? Why is that a tenet of this?
Well, tell me what if you get the shot you want early, and that's what you're trying to do, is just mm-hmm. as quick as you can get it, take it. Except there come times when you're playing time and score toward the end of the game, or maybe toward the end of a halftime in their case. There's times for time and score. But, well, one, it cuts down turnovers. You know, you don't have to make three extra passes to get the same shot you had when you started passing. And I think the ball flows. I know this in our case here at Marshall, and I'm sure with him, it creates a happy fan base because they get to see basketball and not coaches so much. They get to see players, and they get to see them go up and down. I know a lot of our fans come up to me and said, you know, win or lose, y'all are enjoyable to watch. And I think that's a big part. It's entertaining. It's a competitive part in basketball, but there's also an entertaining part. And I think the most successful programs will have a combination of both those.
We're talking to Dan D'Antoni, Marshall coach. Mike's older brother is the Rockets and Warriors start the Western Conference Finals tomorrow night. How often do you give your point guard a specific play set to run?
Pretty much start of the game, mm-hmm. Start of the second half, coming out timeouts, and then as little as possible on a need basis while the play's going on. And I say that, and I kind of quote my dad when I first started basketball, and he's a longtime coach here in West Virginia, and he goes, there's five guys out there making mistakes, and if you start coaching a lot, you'll be number six. So I try to eliminate that extra element of mistake. So, you know, I'm very good, and I know Mike is good at communicating with their point guards or any other players that have ideas on the floor. Sometimes they see things that we don't see, and I know when I play, and I'm sure Mike or any other player sees things a little bit different than you do on the sideline. So, you know what, I trust my players, and I believe in them. Just like I would want to hold them accountable to believing in us as coaches. And once you get all those elements in line, then I think you end up with a very successful team.
Dan, what do you believe in defensively? When you're coaching, when you don't have the ball, what are you looking for? What do you want out of your teams?
Well, you know, it's funny, too. And Mike was his greatest asset as a player was defense. Mm-hmm. And this thing is not a thing to say that he doesn't care in defense. That's not true. It's sometimes very difficult, and I think that's why you see scores rise. It's very difficult to stop a team that five players can score and they spread you out. And what happens, I think, sometimes with us, I know when we were playing San Antonio, they beat us in the Western Finals, they went small. They went like us and beat us. They didn't play the same standard style. They started spreading us up, played little, and they beat us. We were going to beat the old style. But, you know, give Doc credit. He saw what he had to do and he adjusted to it. But defensively, we do a little bit different. I know Mike's using switches and things, and certainly that's effective in slowing down your pick-and-roll offense, is trying to make switches. Of course, sometimes you get outmanned down low on rebounds and lob plays to your center. But the way we do it, and kind of the way Mike did it early, and we push down toward the baseline, and I do it a little bit different in that we set up a scheme from that point on to eliminate any layups. And we're trying to play defense against what we want to do offense, and that's stop the layups, pressure out the teams back into a two-point scenario, and contest that two-point shot. And if we can do that, we think we got a great chance of winning the basketball game.
I think it's worth pointing out that there was also a hip check in that series that might have had a hand or a say in what ultimately happened there, Dan.
Well, I think, well, yeah, and that's another thing. There's a luck factor. Right. And there also is a player ability factor. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have the best players, number one. You need, or at least as good as, or close to good. There's a certain level, just good players have a determination as to whether you win a game or not. You know, just the LeBron factor, throw him on the floor, and, you know, there all of a sudden you go from a bad coach to a good coach. But so I think there are a lot of factors that come into it. But, you know, I brag on my brother, but if you look at the player he's had, Leandro Barbosa, Sixth Man of the Year, and he leaves. And he's had a good career, but nothing like the Sixth Player of the Year. David Lee in New York, same, all-star, moves off. But, you know, Mike has the ability to raise the level of play for almost everybody that's played under him. Raymond Felton, who played for me in AAU high school. And, heck, Chris Duhon, who coached here with me. You know, he had his best year under that system. And the tutelage of Mike, and I helped him a little bit. I hope I did. But I know that our players here, this past year, we did something hadn't done at Marshall and won the first round against Wichita State. We won with four juniors and three freshmen. And among all those players, maybe four scholarship offers, period. And so I think John Elmore, who came to us from BMI and is one of only few offers that he had, has become the leading scorer, leading assist guy in Conference USA for the past 2 years. And we had C.J. Burks, who really doesn't have any scholarship offers, was a 20-point scorer this year. We had our center, Adin Penava. These were the three juniors that played. Yep. Penava came from Bosnia, had one other scholarship offer to Northern Kentucky, and in 2 years signed with Bill Duffy's agency to go pro. So there's a lot of things, and there is a element of practice, especially at my level, maybe not as much. Even at the pro level. And I'm not sure how Mike has done it this year with the new staff and last year. I haven't been with him in 3 years. But I know here, how you practice, how you run your practices, what you emphasize and what you don't emphasize creates the element that you have to be successful at what we do. It's not I used the term a long time ago, which I'm going to take claim for. It's been said often thereafter. But I always claim Soxie High School, which is where I coach, it was called organized chaos. And it looks, everybody who's not familiar will look at it and go, hell, they're just playing up and down. They don't have any rhyme or reason for what they're doing. But if you would come to practice, you would see the organized part of it. And the whole idea is that you're organized, you're creating chaos for everybody else. And they're playing in a chaotic state, whereas you're playing with the concepts that you build in your practice.
Dan, last one before I let you go. How would you coach LeBron James?
I would just be there and make a lot of money when he gets on the floor. You know, he's great. And he plays, you know, with vision. And really, it was funny. We wanted him, obviously tried to get him when we were in New York. And one of the things that Mike offered him, which was a little different in the way he was playing at that time, he wanted him to come to New York and be the point guard. And that, you know, LeBron didn't really accept that. But if you watch Cleveland play now, who's the point guard?
Yep.
And I think that's when he's most effective. He's truly a great talent, obviously a physical specimen. But he has all the attributes you would need to run the spread floor like we do in a pick and roll. So I would coach him up, and I think that's his strengths. And you know what? If I can get him convinced that I can help him, I know good and well he would help me. He would make me a great, great coach. So, you know, it's fun to watch, and it's going to be a great series. Both these next two series are going to be great because Boston does a great job. Coach is great there, and should be fun. Should be good for basketball. Biggest thing, it's good for basketball. It's great basketball. It's exciting. It's fun to watch.
Dan D'Antoni, thanks for giving me so much time on this Mother's Day, man. Congratulations again on your run at Marshall this year.
I'm going to go back and make amends so I get through. I'm going to take my wife out to eat, so that'll be good. I'll be cooked.
All right, brother. I'll see you. That's Dan D'Antoni, Mike D'Antoni's big brother, head coach at Marshall University, and was with Mike in Phoenix, New York, and with the Lakers.